ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 29 entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinavahi, verse number 15 and 16. Vaishasam Naragam Bayu
Vaishasam Naragam Bayu
Lukta Gontho Tume Shrunu Hastapado Pumam Stabhyam
Hastapado Pumam Stabhyam
Yukto Yadi Karoti Cha
Yukto Yadi Karoti Cha
Vaishasam Naragam Payu
Vaishasam Naragam Payu
Lukta Gondho Tume Shrunu
Lukta Gondho Tume Shrunu
Hastapado Pumam Stabhyam
Hastapado Pumam Stabhyam
Yukto Yadi Karoti Cha Vaishasam Naragam Payu
Vaishasam Naragam Payu
Lukta Gondho Tume Shrunu
Lukta Gondho
Hastapado Pumam Stabhyam
Hastapado Pumam
Stabhyam Yukto Yadi Karoti Cha Vaishasam,
named
Vaishasa,
Narakam,
hell,
Payu,
the working sense in the rectum,
Lubdhakaha,
named Lubdhaka,
very greedy,
Andhau,
blind,
Tu,
then,
Me,
to me,
Shrunu,
listen.
Hastapadau,
hands and legs.
Puman,
the
living entity.
Tabhyam,
with them.
Yuktaha,
being engaged.
Yati,
course.
Karoti,
works.
Cha,
hand. Translation: when it is said that Parajana goes to Vaishasa, it is meant that he goes to hell. He is accompanied by Lubdhaka, which is a working sense in the rectum. Formerly, I have also spoken of two blind associates. These associates should be understood to be the hands and legs. Being held by the hands and legs, the living entity performs all kind of work and moves hither and thither. Verse 16, there is some purport to this. Verse 16. Antapuram chahudayam vishuchir manavuchyate tatramoham kutalamva asham vapnoditatkunaihi. The word antapura refers to the heart. The word vishuchina, meaning going everywhere, indicates the mind. Within the mind, the living entity enjoys effects of the modes of material nature. This effect sometimes causes illusion, sometimes satisfaction, and sometimes jubilation. Purport by His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. The mind and intelligence of the living entity in material existence are affected by the modes of material nature. And according to the association of the material modes, the mind is habituated to go here and there. The heart feel satisfaction, jubilation, or illusion according to the effects of the modes of material nature. Actually, the living entity in its material condition remains inert. It is the modes of material nature that acts on the mind and heart. The results are enjoyed or suffered by the living entity. This is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27. Pradute kremanani gune karmani sarvashah ahankara mudhatma kaptaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. ज्ञानशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाद्भिर्वी मा पुरो विभु निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मकम् सोऽलङ्कृ श्रीष्ठ भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण हियर द डिस्कशन इज कंटिन्यूइंग फर्दर एक्सप्लेनिंग द मीनिंग ऑफ दिस अलगोरिकल स्टोरी दैट हैज बीन टोल्ड बाय नारद टू किंग प्राचीन बर्हि हियर फर्दर डिस्क्रिप्शंस आर गिवन हाउ one could go to the hell and two blind followers are the hands and the legs. Interestingly enough, next information is given about Antapura, referring to the heart, because that is the core of the being, the heart, where the spirit soul resides, the consciousness emanates from there. And next is even more important, which is Vishuchi. Vishuchi is referring to the mind, because Vishuchi means going here and there. So in fact, this is the nature of our mind. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna speaks out to Krishna after Krishna explained to him the entire Dhyana Yoga in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. After that, immediately, Arjuna said, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramadi balavat dridham. So he said, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. The same moment that is mentioned here, the mind is flickering. It is moving here and there. It is very strong, very compulsive, very obstinate. So this is the nature of the mind. It is very fast, it goes here and there, and it is difficult to control. In fact, in Mahabharata, Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked this question, or a series of questions, by Yaksha. Because all his brothers were lying unconscious by the side of this lake, because they all went to quench their thirst. And all of them went, and Yaksha warned, no, you cannot drink this water from this lake, it belongs to myself. But they did listen, they started drink the water, and they all became unconscious. And finally, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he approached, then he saw all his brothers lying unconscious. And Yaksha told, if you can answer all my questions, then I can help you to revive your brothers and to quench their thirst as well in turn. So when this happened, one of the questions posed by Yaksha was, what is the fastest thing in this world? And Yudhishthira Maharaj gave right answer to all the questions. So the answer he was given was the mind. Mind is the fastest, because with the mind one can go anywhere. And many times it is unconscious, it's involuntary. We cannot control. The mind is going everywhere. That's the nature of the uncontrolled mind. Brahma Samhita says about the yogis, about the munis, Pantastha Kodi Chata Vastara Sampragamyam. So this is presented in a different context, that the yogis can meditate and their mind can go so fast. Still, one cannot reach up to Krishna. One can go thousands and thousands of years, but one cannot get to Krishna, even if you go very fast. Because it is completely a different medium altogether to reach up to Krishna. Krishna is beyond the mind, because he is not part of this material existence. At the same time, these movements of our minds can be very embarrassing. It can be quite shameful for us. Oh, what kind of thoughts are coming to our mind? And suppose we are devotee, but the mind is going everywhere, which is not supposed to go. So mind is quite complicated. The nature of the mind is very complicated, and it is very difficult to control. And at the same time, mind doesn't have any shame as such. Externally, we are shameful. We don't do certain things externally. We think, you know what, others think, it is not good for me. We control, but when it comes to the mind, mind is shameless. Mind can bring anything, especially or when it is uncontrolled. So, an uncontrolled mind is the worst enemy of the living entity, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. It's mentioned, mana eva hi manishyanam karana bandha mokshayoho. Indeed, mind is the cause for a living entity to be entrapped in material existence or to free and get liberation. So mind is the goal, the reason for both. In other words, it is like a double-edged sword. It can cut in either way. It can be used for the right purpose or it could be used for the wrong purpose. So we need to be very careful when we are dealing with the mind. So we have experiences in this world, and these experiences, they just lay beneath our mind, and then any time they can pop up. Just like when we are chanting, many times we have this experience, how this thought came to my mind. I was just listening to Hare Krishna Mahamantra, suddenly this thought, how it came to me. And indeed, you can see this mind is not limited by time or space as such. One can think about anything that happened in your early childhood. It happened yesterday, whatever happened 10 years back, 20 years back, anything can come to the mind. Similarly, in terms of the space, mind can go anywhere. And it can go to the place which do not exist as well, dreaming sometimes. So mind can go anywhere. Mind can take yogis to different planets. Even astral travel, mind can take the yogis to different places. So the mind is a very powerful tool. At the same time, for a sadhaka, our uncontrolled minds are very humiliating. If you are sincere and if you want to think about Krishna, if you want to make spiritual progress, this uncontrolled mind is very humiliating for a sadhaka. We see, why mind is like this? We think, really. And as it is mentioned here, the mind can go through different kinds of emotions. Here it is mentioned, it can be in satisfaction. It can have satisfaction in when we are influenced by which mode mind experiences satisfaction.
Ignorance.
One more try.
Goodness.
In goodness, one feels satisfaction. And in ignorance?
Illusion.
And in passion, one wants to enjoy some kind of jubilation. So here we can see the influence of three modes on the mind. In illusion, even a devotee, a sadhaka, can think, oh, the materialistic people are enjoying. We are having a difficult time getting up early in the morning, service. Probably we are not even paid for our service. So what's really going on? The outside people are enjoying. Probably we don't think at this point in time. We may think we are in a better off situation. But otherwise one could think. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he advised his initial sannyas disciples. The advice was, when you go to a rich man's home, don't think that such a person is having a good time, they are enjoying and I am having a difficult time accepting the sannyas. So Prabhupada said, don't think like that. So he needs to give the initial instruction. Then, another trick of the mind is in illusion. I am not making any progress in bhakti and I am suffering. There has to be something wrong with this bhakti process. That is another kind of thought that is posed by the mind. I cannot say I am making any progress in bhakti. And also I have so many worries and so many things are going on. There must be something wrong with this process. Whereas you look out, you look into the internet, social media, everyone is having very happy pose. Many times. So, many smiling faces, so people must be happy. And maybe some devotees may be happy, but I can see I am not happy. And the process is not working. What do? We blame the process. Is there anything wrong with the process? No. It is the problem with the application of the process. If we find ourselves not happy in Krishna consciousness, then we need to check, where am I going wrong? It is a very simple principle. Bhakti, if you perform properly, even in difficult situation, devotees are happy. Devotees feel satisfied. Krishna is looking at things are going okay, even in difficult situation. So if it's not happening, one has to scrutinize oneself and see where we are going wrong. So we had to check our mind in that way. So sukham kartum avyayam, it's a happy process. It has to work. There is no other means. Many times when very senior devotees, when they see their disciples or others, they ask, are you happy in Krishna consciousness? This is a common question being asked. It's a very important question. You may think, are you happy in Krishna consciousness? Just like, are you good if you go out, you know, how are you doing? Is it the same kind of question? Are you happy in Krishna consciousness? No. It's a very pertinent question. The reason is, if we are practicing Krishna consciousness properly, we are meant to be happy, because that is a byproduct of devotional service. It's not the main product. Main product is pleasure, happiness of Krishna. But a byproduct is, we become happy. And we can experience that, and there is nothing wrong in it, even though we are not anchoring for it. So sometimes devotees may have to go through difficulties or some pain in serving Krishna, tolerating our mind, senses, etc. But that's for pleasure of Krishna, and even though we are going through some difficulties, in turn, Krishna will give happiness. There's no doubt about it. So one has to be determined in Krishna consciousness. Another kind of illusion the mind can bring, that is, without sense gratification, I will suffer. I am restricting my senses, I am not allowing any sense gratification externally, and also I am trying to control my mind, but I have to give in at least a little bit, because I am a very balanced person. Since I am a balanced person, we have to balance sense gratification and devotional service. So without devotional service, if we just simply focus on Krishna, that is suffering. We need to let go a little bit. Like Freud's philosophy, you control so much, it will not work. You have to let go, then you can relax. In the same way, a sadhaka may think, we are controlling the senses during devotional service, but we may need a break from devotional service. But there is no break from devotional service. One cannot leave devotional service, because that's our constitutional activity. So we have to be very careful. And in that condition, if that kind of thoughts are coming to the mind, then we need to see, who are we associating with? Are we associating with devotees? Are we associating with all different kinds of social media? Where is our association? What is our entertainment? Browsing social media, is it our entertainment? Then we are succumbing ourselves to the material nature, the three modes of material nature. We have to be very careful. A devotee has to be very careful. Otherwise, the mind can give really a hard time. One can be a suffering devotee or a happy devotee. That's our choice to a great degree. If we do devotional service properly, then we become happy devotees. But if we do other things, we become suffering devotees, where we know that we have to perform devotional service, but I am unhappy because I am giving in to so many different aspects of Maya. Now everything comes in our mobile phone, in front of the computer, on the screen, everything is there. And one can deteriorate one's consciousness very easily without any trouble. Another kind of illusion we had to deal with, of the mind. It is unsafe to follow the orders of Krishna and Guru. I follow to some degree, but following everything is a bit unsafe. Because I need to follow my plans also. If I follow my plans, I feel in control, I feel safe, and things will go on okay. But Krishna's plan looks like there will be some problems. How can I do it? Or Guru's plan, something, there must be something wrong in it. I'll follow to some degree, but at least I need my percentage, I need my leeway. So this is different tricks of the mind. So we have to be reminded by hearing about Krishna, hearing about devotees who are following Guru's instruction, Krishna's instruction, and we need to get inspired from them. Then we see, all these devotees are following Guru's instruction and we can see them progressing, we can see them happy in Krishna consciousness. Then, am I missing out something? Let me also try. So that is positive association. Another very important one when we practice Krishna consciousness. No devotee can understand my problems. I am in a unique situation and my problems are unique, so that no one can help me, no one can understand me. This is a very sad situation for a devotee, especially if a devotee is going through difficulties and if one thinks that no one can help me, that is really a torture. That can really create a lot of trouble. So one needs to seek help from other devotees. Who can help? Who are seniors, who can understand, who can help? It's very important. Nectar of instruction presence. It is essence of bhakti. This is how we bond with devotees. When things are going okay, we bond with the devotees, and when we are having a rough time, still we bond with the devotees. We take help from the devotees. It is very important. Srila Prabhupada mentioned a very important point that one can tolerate anything in good association. One can tolerate anything in good association. So if we are going through difficult times, we need the association of the devotees and we need to seek help. And one shouldn't think that, everyone should reach out to me immediately, because some other devotees may not know that one is going through difficulties. So one has to reach up to devotees and tell. Then you can see reciprocation of Krishna. Even just by that act, Krishna will be pleased and Krishna will reciprocate. So the mind can bring so many different kinds of illusory thoughts and illusory distractions from Krishna consciousness. So we have to be vigilant. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam very strong statements are given about the mind. Very harsh statements. Mind is just like a prostitute. It can go anywhere. This is how Bhagavatam says to and a yogi, a devotee, never trust his or her mind. Never. Can you think? This is a statement of Bhagavatam. A devotee should never trust his or her mind. Such a strong statement. Because the mind can take us anywhere. And is these thoughts, are they very innocent thoughts? Are these material desires very innocent? No, they are not innocent. We start with a little bit of desire and then it increases, go in like a pin and come out like a plow. That they are material desires. A little bit, a small desire, you hanker them, fulfill them, go on in that route and become so powerful. So material desires are very powerful and devotees have to be very careful how to control this. And they are not innocent. As the mind is wandering hither and thither, the mind, the subtle body, has the capacity to take the living entity here and there. In this lifetime, we can see people want to go everywhere. Now the travel industry is crushed. But otherwise, when we speak to people, we know they just want to go everywhere. here, you know, after finishing the studies, maybe, you know, hey, I want to go to South America. I want to go to Europe. I want to go to North America. I want to go to India. I want to go to Southeast Asia. All popular destinations. People want to go everywhere. How it is working? The mind is taking them everywhere. So this journey is not just in this one lifetime. Rather, this is pervading life after life. This mind is taking us from one body to the next body in all different kinds of species of life. Evana durmodi samsara bhute, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this wicked mind has given me another material birth. This wicked mind has given me another material birth. Now, by the mercy of Mahajans, I have got an opportunity to chant Hare Krishna mantra. That Mahajan is taking me away from the clutches of material existence. So, our primary fight is against our own mind. In Krishna consciousness, one of the main things that we deal with is our own mind. Morning, we don't feel like getting up. How many people get, you know? Oh, morning, early morning, I feel like, okay, I have to go for Mangalarti. I want to see Radha Vallabha now. We are fighting with our mind, you know, how to do this? I know I had to get up, but it's so difficult. I feel really like sleeping. So morning we start our fight with the mind. Mind is unstoppable. That's why the deity of the mind is Aniruddha. Aniruddha means who cannot be stopped, cannot be checked. That's the deity of the mind, is Aniruddha. One who cannot be checked, that's the Lord. And his potency is the mind. He is one among the Chaturvyuha, the portable expansion of the Lord. And his potency is the mind, and mind is unstoppable. It is there, and that can give us different bodies. In Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, 1st chapter 28-29, a grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee always think of the bee in fear and enmity, and later becomes a bee simply because of such remembrance. A grass worm confined in a hole of a wall by a bee constantly think of the bee in fear and enmity, and because of that the grass worm is going to get the body of a bee. So this is the principle of transmigration of the soul. Yam yam vaapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevala tam tam evetikavteya sada bhava bhavitah. Whatever state of consciousness we leave this body, or what is in the mind, we get such a destination. There is a classic example given in Srimad Bhagavatam to explain this. What is the conclusion? This verse doesn't stop there. So, Narada Muni is deriving a great principle from this example. He tells, similarly, if the conditioned souls somehow or other think of Krishna, who is Sachidananda Vigraha, they will become free from their sins, whether thinking of him as their worshipable Lord or an enemy. Because of constantly thinking of him, they will regain their spiritual bodies. So this is the point, that the mind has a capacity to capture us in this material world or liberate and give the ultimate liberation, that is going to the spiritual world, becoming an associate of the Lord, getting a spiritual body. So the mind has that capacity. So Narada Muni rightly point out this example from the nature. Tasmad vairagya bandhena nirvairena va kama krodhena va yujya kadanchit nekshate pradhak. So the Lord says, it doesn't matter in whichever form one thinks about the Lord, and he comes to even with enmity, still it is beneficial. We don't want to do that. Or fear, we don't want to do that like Kamsa. But if you think about Krishna with some affection, then the result is all auspicious. So that is the conclusion. So the mind has that capacity. How to develop that? Naturally, we have to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra gives us the realization that how uncontrolled our mind is, how much help that we need. This is the realization we can get from chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is the point one can think. नाम्ना अकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रापि तान्यमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् मम विदुर्देव विदुरिशम यजानि नानिरागा. The Lord has invested all the energy in the holy name, but I have no taste to chant Krishna's name. If one comes to that point, one is actually making real progress in bhakti. I have no taste to chant Krishna's name. I am struggling to chant my Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Even though I have heard that Krishna has invested all his energy in his names. If one comes to that point, it is considered very good. Because that is the point of humility. That is the point one reaches out to Krishna. One calls out on Krishna. So it's a very good point. If you feel, look, I really need some help. I want to make some progress. My chanting is bad. I will do something about it. Krishna, please help me. If one comes to that point, one starts begging to Krishna, that is the beginning of chanting or beginning of proper chanting. And that's why it's mentioned. That's the next stage coming to Trinada Vishnichena Taravadiva Sarishnana Amayana Maradena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So that is the stage of Nishtha. Coming to the stage of Nishtha, if one feels helpless and if one takes shelter of Krishna, that is that one feels helpless in anatha nirvruti. Still anathas are there and we are struggling, and if we are reaching out to Krishna, then from that point one can, okay, I can tolerate everything. Now I really need mercy of Krishna and I am ready to offer respects to others, and I don't want any respect, but I simply want to serve Krishna. If one is fixed in that consciousness, that is Nishtha, that is being steady in devotional service. That is our aspiration. Because we are struggling with anarthas, and our aspiration is to come to Nishtha Bhakti, come to Nishtha Bhajana Kriya. So it's our prayer to come to Nishtha Bhajana Kriya. From there, the path is a bit more easier. So we need steady sadhana, we need steady sadhana, we need steady reading, we need steady hearing. Through that we can make progress. Raghunath Das Goswami exemplifies this. It is mentioned that his bhajan was just like so regular, just like lines that are made on a stone. On a stone, if you make big lines, it is strong and straight and it is there. In the same way, his bhajan was like that. He used to chant so fixed. He used to pay obeisances to thousands of devotees every day, so fixed. That kind of determination we need in our bhakti, if we want to control our mind, if we want to get out from this anarthas to serve Krishna, in that way we can actually experience real taste in serving Krishna, real taste in chanting Krishna's name. It is there, it has been demonstrated by so many devotees. And we need that. When we feel that, yes, it's amazing. Same Srila Prabhupada, how regulated was he? He was in old age. Think about him. Morning walk means he would have morning walk. And after that Bhagavatam class, there was Bhagavatam class. The correspondent time, he had the correspondent time. Every day, massage time, he had massage. Lunch at a particular time, he had sharp at that particular time lunch. He was so regulated, pure devotee. He's beyond all rules and regulations. Many times in our mind we think, oh, one can come to the stage of more spontaneous bhakti where there is no rules or regulation. I'll be just thinking about Krishna. Whatever I do, I'll be constantly thinking of Krishna. Yes, which is true, but Rupa Goswami advises one has to act as a sadhaka even up to the time of death. This is a statement in Nectar Devotion you can read. Up to the time of death, even if one is on a spontaneous platform, must act as a sadhaka, following the rules, because that is our preaching, exemplifying for ourselves. So Srila Prabhupada, he could have done anything, but he was regulatedly performing devotional service and demonstrating how a sadhaka should be. About controlling the mind and the senses, there is a beautiful verse quoted in Nectar section. The first verse, purport, is by Jagadananda Pandit. Vairagi phai gramya katha na shunibe kane gramya varta na kahibe yabe milibe yana sopne o na kare phai stri sambhashana grihe stri chadiya bhai ashiya chevana yedi chaha pranaya rakhite gorange rasane chota haridasar katha thake na mane ভাল না কা খাইবে আর ভাল না পারিবে, হৃদয়ে তে রাখা কৃষ্ণ সর্বদা সেবিবে। মাই ডিয়ার ব্রাদার, ইউ আর ইন the renounced order of life and should not listen to talk about ordinary worldly things. This is about for everyone as such, not only for sannyasis. Nor should you talk about worldly things when you meet with others. Don't have this mundane chat all the time. Do not think of woman even in dreams. You have accepted the renounced order of life with a vow that forbid you to associate with woman. If you wish to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you must always remember the incident of Chota Haridas and how he was rejected by the Lord. Do not eat luxurious dishes or dress in fine garments, but always remain humble and serve the Lordships Shri Shri Radha Krishna in your heart of hearts. So this is the instruction given by Jagannatha Pandit, associate of Mahaprabhu. So we have to be very careful that we are not wasting time unnecessarily mundane talks, spending time in the internet, YouTube, social media, you name it. And we have regularly reading, especially if you have time now, at least minimum 2 hours of reading Srila Prabhupada's books, listening 1 hour at least, apart from Bhagavatam. We have to make our some objectives, okay, I will do certain things so that we don't have time for any other nonsense. We have to be very busy. So to control mind, two principles are there. One is engagement, second is neglect. Engage the mind and neglect the mind. And practice this. How? Neglect the mind is part of detachment. Krishna says, abhyasena vairagyena. If mind is proposing many things, just neglect for some time. And engage the mind. Practice this. This is abhyasena chakamtaya vairagyena chakamtaya. This is how Krishna says. One is detachment and practice. What is that detachment? Neglect the mind. Srila Prabhupada mentioned this in 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that controlling the mind, one of the major tools is neglect the mind. Very important. Then one can think about Krishna. So Krishna has such wonderful qualities. Krishna is known as the expert judge, time, place, circumstances and people. Desha Kala Patra, he is the best person who can judge time, place and circumstances. That is one of the qualities of Krishna as mentioned in Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The 19th quality of Krishna in the list of 64. So today is a special day. Today is Vasanta Purnima. But this particular mention is about Sharad Purnima, autumn full moon night. Krishna was thinking, what is the best time for his enjoyment? So he understood, okay, that is autumn full moon night. That is Sharad Purnima. Then he started thinking, what's the best place for enjoyment? Vrindavan is the best place. So he has calculated what's the best time to enjoy and what is the best place to enjoy. And time, it is Purnima, so it has to be in the middle of the night. So he is ready with the time and the place. And then he understood who is the best people to enjoy with. Gopis of Vrindavan along with Srimati Radharani. So then he decided, okay, now I will go for my rasa dance. So Krishna knows everything, how to enjoy in the best possible way. And our enjoyments are always curtailed, always impeded by material inabilities. That is this world. But Krishna's enjoyment, it is seamless. It's a flaw. And he is expert in judging and he enjoys. That's why Krishna is Rasaraj. He can enjoy all the mellows of devotional service. So this is Krishna. Today is Vasanta Purnima. Similarly, even Balaram, he also performs rasa dance with his gopis. So Krishna enjoys with his gopis. Similarly, Lord Balaram enjoys with his gopis. So he has his own rasa dance because he is also the Supreme Personality of God. He is Supreme Lord. Direct expansion of Krishna, not much difference, only the color is different. Apart from that, today is a very special day because today is the appearance day of Shyamananda Pandit, Shyamananda Prabhu. So we speak a little bit about Shyamananda Prabhu on His glorification. We start from the guru of Shyamananda Prabhu, who is Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit was a very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya. So he was contemporary to Lord Chaitanya, and his brother was also famous and very dear devotee of the Lord. He was Suryadas Pandit. Suryadas. We may remember that Suryadas had two daughters, Vasudha and Janavi. They got married to Nityananda Prabhu. So Suryadas was the older brother and the younger brother was Gauridas Pandit. So Suryadas Pandit sent Gauridas Pandit to a place where he can perform bhajan. So it was on the bank of Ganges, Ambika Kalna. So he told his brother, you go to Ambika Kalna on the bank of Ganges, it's a very beautiful place, you can perform bhajan there. So Gauridas was very happy and he left home. Think about the consciousness of these devotees. They didn't think about, you know, making money, higher studies, this, that, having a family. He was pretty focused on, okay, my brother is told, okay, go do bhajan on the bank of Ganges, it's a very beautiful place. Immediately, he didn't even, he just heard that, he just left home. He went to the bank of Ganges in Ambika Kalna and he started his bhajan. And as he was performing bhajan, Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, he knows everything. Mahaprabhu was going by that place, he approached Gauridas, and Gauridas was very happy. And Mahaprabhu, he had an oar in his hand. Oar means to, you know, he can, to the boat, just like a boatman, Mahaprabhu was carrying an oar. And he gifted that oar to Gauridas. So Gauridas was wondering, Mahaprabhu, why are you carrying this oar? What's the whole purpose? So Mahaprabhu told Gauridas, this oar is symbolizing something. You can take all these people in this world to cross over the ocean of samsara. So you are the boatman. So you can help all these people to get over the cycle of birth and death, the samsara sagara. So Gauridas was very happy. He ecstatically accepted that oar and he kept it very safe. Then Mahaprabhu told, he embraced him and he was very happy with Gauridas Pandit. And then Mahaprabhu told Gauridas Pandit, you come with me to Navadvip. I have something very special gift for you. Gauridas Pandit was ecstatic with complete jubilation. He accompanied Mahaprabhu and went to Navadvip. There Mahaprabhu gifted a book to Gauridas Pandit. This is a very special book. It was a copy of Bhagavad Gita. So, we have plenty of Bhagavad Gita research. What's the big deal? Bhagavad Gita. You go to the bookshop. So many Bhagavad Gitas. We all have personal copies of Bhagavad Gita. What's the big deal? But this Bhagavad Gita was very special. It was handwritten personally by Mahaprabhu. And Gauridas Pandit opened this Bhagavad Gita and he saw this Bhagavad Gita, the writings of Mahaprabhu. It was just like pearls. It was just like pearls, so beautiful. If you see writing of Mahaprabhu, one will get Krishna praying. It was mentioned that even one sees the writings of Rupa Goswami, one will get Krishna praying. Because it is filled with love for Krishna. So think about the writings of Mahaprabhu. So he accepted this gift and Gauridas Pandit was so happy and he started thinking, Mahaprabhu have taken so much of pain in writing his own copy of Bhagavad Gita. There are 700 verses and he had taken so much of pain in writing this book, and after that with complete detachment he has gifted this to me. We find it difficult, right? If you perform a task which takes long time and it is for us, and just like that giving away to someone. So Mahaprabhu did that and Gauridas Pandit was very happy. Then he started residing nearby place, and Gauridas Pandit, he was worshipping the Lord in Shantipur. Then one day Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu approached Gauridas Pandit. So Gauridas Pandit was very happy, but at the same time he was very sad. The reason is Mahaprabhu had already accepted sannyas. So this gave Gauridas Pandit a lot of pain. So we need to understand, why is it so? Accepting sannyas, at least in the Vedic times, means something different, not that we think of. Now what's the big deal? One person accepts sannyas. You can be in touch with the sannyasi, you can email them, WhatsApp them, make a phone call, you can see the YouTube classes, Zoom lectures, you can do everything. But that time accepting sannyas means one renounces everything and one just goes away, that's it. One may see that person again or not, we don't know. As Bhagavatam 2nd canto says, it is glorious for a person to just leave and leave the body unknown to the whole world. It is considered glorious under the shelter of the Lord. So this is sannyas. And then Gauridas Pandit was also concerned that after accepting sannyas, he will eat only very meagerly. He will go through all different kinds of austerities. So Gauridas Pandit couldn't tolerate Mahaprabhu going through such tapasya, such difficulties. So he was very unhappy on the same side. So Gauridas Pandit told Mahaprabhu that you are not going anywhere. Both of you lords, you stay in Ambika Kalna and I will look after you. You can have your bhajan here, you don't go anywhere. And Gauridas Pandit told this with so much of affection, so much of feeling, that Mahaprabhu and Nityananda started thinking, you know, how can we just leave our dear devotee and go? So they had a proposition. Mahaprabhu told Gauridas Pandit, don't worry, we have a solution for you. I will give you replica of ours to you. So you be satisfied with our replicas. So he arranged a neem tree, and from the neem tree they carved two deities of Gaura and Nitai. Then they installed the deities. After that, Mahaprabhu informed Gauridas Pandit, now you feed all four of us. We are all hungry, feed all of us. Gauridas Pandit told, how can I feed all four of you? I will feed both of you. No. He said, they will also eat. If you offer them bhoga, they will also eat, just like we eat. Gauridas Pandit said, really? Okay, we'll do it. He started cooking. He started making, made a big feast and he offered to all four of them. And all four of them ate all this bhoga. So it was to the surprise of Gauridas Pandit. Then it is mentioned, then Mahaprabhu said, okay, now we are leaving. Gauridas said, okay, now you can leave. So Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they started going in the room. Then they looked at the deities. Then Gauridas started saying, no, the deities, they are not the original person. Actually, the original persons have gone and the deities are here. So he said, no, I want the original people here and the deities can go. So he ran behind Gauridas and told, you come back, let this deities go, I want both of you. So they came back, they stood in the altar, they didn't move. And the deities started walking. Then they went a few steps, then Gauridas told, no, they are not the deities, actually the actual persons are going. The deities are still here, the actual persons are going. So he went and called them, come back. This went on a few times, then they said, Mahaprabhu said, we are going, you be satisfied with our replicas, we are going, you worship them. So Gauridas was happy, okay, I worship them. Then he started thinking, who is going to worship? So he asked Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar Pandit, you are such a dear devotee of the Lord, give me someone to take care of these deities, I need some help. Gadadhar Pandit said, I have no possession in this world. What can I give you? I don't have anything. Then Gauridas told, look, you have Hridayananda. You have instructed Hridayananda. You have initiated Hridayananda. You have given all shelter to Hridayananda. You give me your Hridayananda. So Gadadhar Pandit, so be it. You take Hridayananda. So Hridayananda became the official pujari of this Gauridas deities in Ambika Kalna. And he started worshipping, and there is this beautiful pastime where they used to have yearly Gaura Purnima festival. So we know that Gaura Purnima festival was started
by Narottamdas Thakur in Kethuri Gram. And after that, every year Gaurikurma festival was going on. And here, for this deities also, Gurudas Pandit started Gaurikurma festival. So now Gurudas, he said, I am going to take Bhiksha. So meanwhile, you be here, we will have a Gaurikurma festival. He told to Hridayananda. Gurudas Pandit left. And he didn't come back, to the surprise of Hridayananda. So his disciple was waiting. The Gaurikurma is approaching and no preparations are done, no bhoga is collected, nobody is invited. Then how can we perform Gaurikurma? He was started worrying. And my guru is not here. I have to serve him. How can it happen? So he thought, I will invite all the devotees, all the mahants, and I will collect all the bhoga for Gaurikurma festival. So he organized everything. And just the day before Gaurikurma, Gauridas appeared. And Hridayananda told, I have made all the arrangements for Gaurikurma festival. When Gauridas heard this, he became very angry. You are defying my order. You are defying my order. And you have performed, or you are going to perform Gaurikurma. I reject you. You go to the bank of Ganges. He rejected his disciple. And Hridayananda, he went to the by the side of the Ganges. And he started crying. My guru has rejected me. And the next day, Gaurikurma day, all the people, devotees, all came with lot of gifts to Hridayananda and started giving all the gifts. He said, no, I don't want any of the gifts. Give to my guru. So they took all the gifts, went to Gurudas. Gurudas said, these gifts are organized by my disciple. You give to him and ask him to perform his Gaurikurma. I will perform my Gaurikurma festival. So Hridayananda got all his gifts and he thought, okay, it's the order of my guru. So he performed a big Gaurikurma festival on the bank of the Ganges, wherever he was sitting under the tree. Meanwhile, his guru, Gaurudas, he started Gaurikurma festival with his deities. And noon time came. So he asked Gangadas, another devotee, to offer bhoga to Gaurimitra deities. Gangadas opened the door. He could find no deities. It's not like India. Sometimes the pujaris go to the temple in the morning. They open the door when the deities are missing, stolen by the thieves. It was not like that. We know our family temple one day. The pujari opened the altar. The deities are not there. Somebody stole. Then they had to make another deity. So it was not like that. So they were thinking, where are the deities gone? Gauridas immediately knew what happened. He said, my disciple Hridayananda, he has taken the deities to his festival. See, he took a stick and he started chasing. He started running. And meanwhile, on the bank of Ganges, Hridayananda was doing this festival and a big kirtan. Gauridas were dancing in the kirtan. So seeing Gauridas coming with the stick, Gauridas started to hit themselves and they started running. So Gaurudas still started to chase Gaurudas and these two deities ran and entered the heart of Hridayananda. Immediately, Gaurudas was stuck with wonder. He approached his disciple Hridayananda, embraced him and told, you are so fortunate that Gaurudas has entered your heart. Now onwards, your name will be Hridaya Chaitanya, because whose heart Lord Chaitanya is residing. So he became Hridaya Chaitanya. And he forgave his disciple and he said, how much of devotion we have for Gaurimitai. And he went, came to his altar and he opened and he saw Gaurimitai was standing there. So this was the devotion of Hridayananda, who became Hridaya Chaitanya. And Hridaya Chaitanya had his disciple as Shyamananda Pandit. How this happened? Even as a child, Shyamananda Pandit, his name was Dukhi Krishnadas. He was very renowned. As a child, he wanted to worship the Lord. And he, for his parents, he got as a child after a long time. So, Dukhi Krishnadas, he told his father that I want to take bath in Ganga. So, I want to take bath in Ganga. Then, his father, he had no option. He said, okay, you go take bath and come back. After that, he never returned home. So, Dukhi Krishnadas, he never returned home. He took bath in Ganges in Ambika Kalna and there he met Hridaya Chaitanya and he immediately accepted him as guru and he started serving his guru. He served his guru for some time. After that, he had this desire, look, I have taken bath in Ganges, but I want to go to Yamuna, I want to go to Vrindavan. That point, Hridaya Chaitanya told him, yes, you can go to Vrindavan. He gave his blessings and he went to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, he got the association of Sri Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami became the tutor of Dukhi Krishnadas. So he was teaching him all shastras, all devotional scriptures, and he was serving him very nicely. And then one interesting pastime took place. One day he was sweeping the area of Radhakund. He was walking near Radhakund and there he found an anklet. So when he saw this anklet, Dukhi Krishnadas, he became overjoyed because it looked celestial, not from this world. So he was thinking, whose anklet it is? It is very, very precious. And he took it upon his chest and he kept on his chest. As he was walking, he saw one beautiful lady approaching. A maiden came in front of Dukhi Krishnadas. He asked, does this anklet belong to you? Immediately, this lady told, yes, it belongs to me. It doesn't belong to me, but it belongs to my mistress. Then Dukhi Krishnadas told, I can give this to your mistress, but I have to make sure that it goes to her. So I want to see her. Who are these? So that passed into place. So still, Dukhi Krishnadas had this anklet. And next day he said, okay, night I will show you the maiden door. So he left and next day they approached. And then, Shyamananda Pandit, so not yet Shyamananda Pandit, Dukhi Krishnadas, when he went, Dasarani was so pleased with Dukhi Krishnadas, she wanted to give Dukhi Krishnadas her personal darshan. So he went there and in the forest, Radharani approached and gave Dukhi Krishnadas her darshan. And she accepted the anklet, and this anklet was very special because the anklet originally belongs to Lord Krishna himself, and Radharani wears this anklet thinking about Krishna. So she took the anklet and blessed Dukhi Krishnadas with the anklet on his forehead. And Dukhi Krishnadas fainted and he fell unconscious. When he opened his eyes, he saw Jiva Goswami nearby. And Jiva Goswami asked, what happened to you? Then Dukhi Krishnadas narrated all the stories. So since Dukhi Krishnadas was such an expert to give pleasure to Srimati Radharani, Jiva Goswami awarded him the name Shyama Ananda. One who can give Ananda, he can give pleasure to Shyama Radharani. So his name became Shyamananda and he became Shyamananda Pandit because he learned all the Shastra and he became a scholar in the Vaishnava philosophy. Then Jiva Goswami and his contemporaries under the tutelage of Jiva Goswami were Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur. So all were sent eventually by Jiva Goswami to preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal and in Orissa. Shyamananda Pandit was assigned the task to preach Krishna consciousness in Orissa. So he went there and he preached Krishna consciousness. So this is the glory of Shyamananda Prabhu, Shyamananda Pandit. So we can pray to Shyamananda Prabhu for his mercy to execute our devotional service and preach Krishna consciousness and to purify our hearts. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any quick questions or comments? Yes, bro.
Is that a copy of Chaitanya's Bhagavad Gita? Is that still around?
I can't remember personally. There are some books. Is right? There are some books written by Lord Chaitanya, right? Or you don't know? I don't know. Probably I can find out when I get knowledge. You know, I don't know.
Yes. So that ore that Mahaprabhu actually gave Shyamananda, I think, still there in Kala.
In Abhiga Kala, yeah. The ore is still there in Abhiga Kala. Prabhu has a question.
Question
means microphone.
No,
yes.
So, you know, you were talking about the mind problem.
Yes.
You know, there is a, I thought, you know, you can explain on these two problems which devotees have, is, you know, not happy with the current position, either it will be ashram or work or service or whatever the current situation, current service or whatever I'm doing, mind is always, you know, gives you that the other change would be the best and different, or you know, change your position, change the service, change ashram, change, you know, everything, you know, whatever. So that is one. And another one is, you know, that extreme adjustment of the situation when mind gives, like, you know, push the extreme, take the, you know, the thing which we, and then we fall back badly, and then mind says, you know, anyway, it's not going to work out, so don't. So
can you give an example for that?
Like, you know, like what you're saying, like morning program or something like that, you know, then getting up, then, you know, immediately one, you know, then get up. Or just an example, anything, you know, adjustment, like, you know, if you're eating or something, immediately fasting. And if you're, you know, not chanting, immediately 16 round. Or, you know, like extreme of it, and then not, then fall back. So how do you deal with these two problems?
Okay, so the first question is about dissatisfaction in the given circumstances in bhakti. This is the nature of the mode of passion. This is the nature of the mode of passion. In passion, we need newer and newer things, because one cannot be satisfied in the given thing, given object, given situation, given whatever relationship, anything. So that is the nature of the mode of passion. So to elevate from the mode of passion, one has to accept goodness in Krishna consciousness. Generally, one can see that taking the best use of the given situation in Krishna consciousness, that will give us satisfaction. We are satisfied. This is my situation. I am making the best use of my given situation. If we do that, or at least we are really trying for that, we may not be at best, but at least we are really trying for that, then Krishna can either change the position if he wishes for the service, or he can give us the realization that continuing on this position, continuing on this current circumstances is good for me. We have to understand the reality is that we are in this temple, we are in this position at this point in time, by the arrangement of Krishna. We have the service in our hand at this point as a mercy of Krishna. It's an arrangement of the Krishna. So we need to understand that. So it's a gift of Krishna. It's not a random act. The reason is devotional service is completely under the shelter of Krishna. Bhakti Shakti is completely under Krishna. It is His energy. So it is not just the actings of karma of this material world. It is not just the acting of the three modes of material nature as it is mentioned. So we need to very clearly understand the condition we are in, it is by the arrangement of Krishna, and Krishna has given us this gift of service, gift of this association. So how can we best use of it? So in that way, mind can be appeased. Then second, talking about drastic steps in Krishna consciousness. So starting, one is going to one extreme and jump to the other extreme. Again, this is also nature of the mode of passion. Going through the extremes are generally the nature of the mode of passion. Enjoyment, you can see the materialist. Enjoyment means they want to go to the peak in passion. And ignorance means intoxication to the rock bottom. You know, jumping up and down. So this is not recommended. That's why Utsaham Nischayam Dhairya, next of instruction. Utsaham, one need enthusiasm to make a change to our life. But it has to be accompanied by Nischayam, determination and Dhairya, and perseverance and patience. It has to go along. So when you see Utsaham, initially can be, it may look like in the mode of passion. It can be in the mode of passion also. It is in the mode of passion when it is not accompanied by determination and patience. Because determination and patience are completely in the mode of goodness.
So one need to come to that platform wherein we are not just jumping. And certain things, it's not just drastic steps. Chanting 16 rounds, for us, it's not a drastic step, we have to do it. Okay, I really sincerely try to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, I try to listen, I put my effort to listen. It's not a drastic step. It is something we are meant to do. Attending morning program, it's not a drastic step, that's the minimum standard, you know. The drastic steps are there where, okay, now onwards, eating only once in a day, only sleeping 5 hours a day. Day means including night time, see? Day sleep 5 hours and night, no. You know, so there are drastic steps are there which we cannot do, which are beyond our capacity. So we have to understand what are our limits and then take step towards that. That is a sign of the maturity of a devotee. When a devotee is immature, then take these drastic steps. That's why Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur uses this term to show the stage of devotional service. That's called Utsahamayi. Utsahamayi means one day there is a lot of enthusiasm and do a lot of things, go to the limits or beyond the limits, and next day crash land. So that's Utsahamayi. Unregulated enthusiasm. So the enthusiasm of a neophyte. That's Utsahamayi. We need to steadily progress from there. First understand and take steps. You have a question too? Yeah, you can ask the last question.
Question is, how to keep the mind always engaged in Krishna, like all day and all night? Because even though for myself, if this being in this amazing energy, I still catch my mind sometimes. I think, I don't know when I thought about Krishna last for so long.
Engage practical steps to engage in devotional activities. That is a simple principle. So we are moving towards that. If you have engagement, morning program, services, some evening program, some chanting, some kirtan, etc. So we have engagement throughout the day. Then, okay, we are at least safe. Because we are taking our step towards thinking about Krishna all the time. We may not be able to think straight away. That is given even in Bhagavatam, one of the purports commentary by one of the acharyas, that even when we talk about satatam kirtayanta, we cannot do that all the time because we are not yet there. So we chant at our regulated times, and the rest of the time we try to engage ourselves. That is thinking about Krishna in our stage. So that is kirtaniya sadhari in our condition. Okay? Yeah. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavatam ki jai.